Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it, a podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts now.
You know what that intro music kind of reminds me of?
No.
What? When Jimmy Fallon has like the Roots, like playing the kid instrument, like got a little bit of that that pep.
No? Yeah, I'd buy that.
It's a great way to start a podcast.
Yes. It's very catchy. We've heard from many people that said just it gets stuck in their head. It's hard not to whistle. It's hard not to whistle it after you hear it.
That's right. And it gets you pumped up to talk about things like retirement planning.
Sure. Let's say that that's the case. So on that note, yeah, let's talk about retirement today. That's kind of the crux of the conversation. So beyond
our bread and butter, we're back into our like bread and butter.
Yes. Yeah. This is our sweet spot. So yeah, beyond like, I think we've talked a lot recently on just where do we even start with people, right? The whole behavioral side of just getting to know somebody, getting to know the way that they approach things and all their preferences.
Yeah.
But, and I feel like that has led a lot lately into many variations of what essentially is the same question when somebody is pondering retirement, which is, can I retire when I want to? Or, and that often leads to, you know, do I have enough saved? Am I going to outlive what I've saved up to this point?
Yeah, I think that's well said, because if people do come in with like that one question, can I afford it? Am I going to run out of money? How much money can I actually spend? It really is kind of a variation of all that same question. And that's why when we start to like break down the conversation within the planning model itself, there really are only five variables. How much time do you have? What's the income you need? Therefore, what do you have to have saved? What's the rate of return? And if you're still accumulating, what do you need to save on a regular basis to ultimately get to that end goal? So
I think
the point for us to drive home in this conversation is, yeah, let's figure out how you're viewing things. Like, what's the one thing you really want to not compromise on, right? For some people, it's gotta be this age, or for some people, it's gotta be this lifestyle. Yeah. But then once we figure out what that one variable is for you, let's give you the education to know, well, then here's what the other variables need to be to make this plan work. And that's sometimes where there's a little bit of a disconnect that we got to walk people through that.
Yeah. And I often, I mean, we both do, but it's, we often say, you know, part of planning is just putting these puzzle pieces together. And that is truly reflected in this part of the conversation, where there literally are, to your point, you know, five main variables that we look at, and you can adjust any of those. But yeah, hearing from a client or prospect, you know, here's the variable that they want to kind of isolate, right? Whether that's a certain lifestyle, meaning income that they want to be able to generate, or just, I want to retire at age 64, not a day later, like I'm retiring on my birthday. As long as we know that and they can prioritize for us, then yeah, it really is then putting the other puzzle pieces together, those other four variables, to at least be able to determine, is that something that's going to work? And if not, then what trade-offs need to happen to at least get it in a much better spot that feels comfortable?
So what I liked hearing you say there was, is this going to work? Because that actually lends, I think, to maybe a second step in the process, where once you have some sort of initial review on, I think the things that you want to do can work, or maybe they're not, it's to figure out, and this is where we really need to play a big role, figure out, well, maybe it works on the front end, but it may not work if you really live a long life, or maybe that calculation feels good today, but inflation's going to be a problem later if all your income's coming from something that's really not going to keep up with inflation over time. So I think there are degrees of will it work? And if there's one more thing I'd say to that, building in buffers, like making sure that we're not just saying, can it work? Yes or no. It's, well, if we stress test this with something that pops up in your life, does this thing crumble or is it resilient?
Yeah, and that's oftentimes what we see factored in the least, those kind of additional either expenses. You know, everyone knows once they hit age 65, they can jump on Medicare. But I think part of the disconnect is, well, Medicare isn't free, even though it's typically cheaper than, you know, most employer provided coverage. That's assuming you're just paying the premiums and don't ever need to use coverage. So there are deductibles that we, you know, we assume into our projections, but that's certainly one area where it doesn't always factor in, like you said, the inflation side of things. We know costs are going up, but when you now try to compare that, or at least put that up against Social Security, pension income, those fixed income sources that may or may not be keeping up with inflation, that gap does continue to grow into the future. And we just want to make sure, like you said, poke some holes in this. Let's throw some buffers in there. Say we spend a little bit more in any given year in retirement, just to make sure that there is some margin of error, because it isn't exactly a black and white yes or no answer oftentimes when it comes to retirement. It really is a sliding scale.
Yeah, that's really well said. Because I think if there's maybe one kind of disconnect on what our role is, it is to push back on you on what inputs you're really giving us to put into a plan, right? And that's where our experience and having gone through this a couple different times, wanting to make sure we're conservative in the assumptions we're using, wanting to actually double check your math. You know, one of the biggest inputs to this is, what kind of income do you really need? Mm-hmm. We get that question a lot on the front end. Like, do I need $1 million to retire, or does it got to be a lot more? Do people my age have this much saved or not? it really comes down to what you're going to need to spend. And I think more often than not, people have no stinking clue what they actually spend on a month-to-month basis. That if you ask them to go through some sort of cash flow, think about it, track it for a month or two. Oh, I spend $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month. Meanwhile, you're making $150,000 a year, and we're going, then where is the other money going?
Right.
And I think it's human nature to maybe understate what you think your need will be.
Oh yeah.
And that can be a problem.
Yeah. So that's, yes, I agree with everything you just said, but yeah, that's an important first step in the process. Just number one, confirming whether the variables or our assumptions together are actually reasonable. And then if they are not, let's at least try to figure out something that is realistic, so that we're at least dealing in some world of reality when it comes to these projections, and then making this big decision on whether retirement is going to happen, you know, sooner or later for many people. We would hate to have somebody make that decision based on some faulty data, or at least, you know, pie in the sky kind of expense levels. And now you're 6-7 years into retirement, and it's, well, this isn't looking great. I'm taking out more money than I think I expected. It looks like I'm going to run out sooner than later, and now I'm going to have to go back to work, or at least really start to pull some of those parachute cords that I wasn't ready to pull this early.
And I think that happens too, with some sort of assumption on what kind of rate of return, or what is my savings going to generate for me? I mean, I get a little bit concerned that there may be a lot of plans, or whether they're formalized or not, people that are kind of in retirement have gotten some sort of false sense of security when you've had stock market returns the last 3 years that are like pushing 20%+ a year. Yeah. That masks a lot of excess spending that you may have gotten used to that will not be able to occur in the future if we're back to some more normalized 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows, rate of return. So I think part of the point that we're trying to make today, there definitely are a lot more variables that go into planning than I think that one burning question that people have. But how those dominoes play out certainly need to change over time. And we need to make sure that the assumptions that were made on the front end either are coming true within the plan or can be adjusted, and you have the built-in buffers to survive those adjustments later.
Yeah, and I think just to build on that a little bit more, right? We've talked about kind of all these variables, all these assumptions. but they do fall into two camps, right? Some that you can control, and then many others that you can't.
So, yes, well said.
So even from that aspect, right, if the market is, like you said, right now, it has masked maybe some excess withdrawals or expenses, whatever that may look like.
Yeah, some shortcoming.
So let's take the opposite of that. At some point, we're going to have, I don't want to say normal, but some sort of extended recessionary period that is not, you know, a 30-day COVID shut off the economy, turn it back on type of downturn, something that is going to be a little bit more prolonged. And then that's where if the market returns are not enough to make up for the withdrawals that are coming out, then let's look at these other variables that clients can control, whether they want to or not, right? It's earning more, spending less, you know, maybe adjusting investment risk, all of those things that, again, I think it's just the difference between the things we can control and the things that we can't, and knowing that if we need to make adjustments, it has to happen over here where the things, the under the list of things that we can control.
And so much better to think about those things and actually project those things out on the front end before somebody does retire, right? And I think that's part of our job. As much as we are the practitioners here that have to like build the plan and kind of understand the financial dynamics of it, I'm hoping you would agree. I mean, we work together on this stuff. I hope you would agree that the conversations on the front end to that plan are far more important than whatever projection we're going to put together, because that projection is still a lot of assumptions that are going to change over time.
Right.
It's using the projections to generate the conversations on if these things happen, if these bad things happen.
Yeah.
What are we willing to compromise? And if there aren't some things that we want to compromise, then that helps us on the front end go, yeah, let's focus on what you can control. Are we working longer to earn more? Are we going to spend more, spend less? Are we going to find a way to kind of try to generate more return? What are the things that you will do on the front end that help that plan when those bad things happen? I mean, that is planning. Planning should not be for best case scenarios. It should be, we've got a lifeboat. We're going to be comfortable with it. When these things happen, we know what levers we're pulling. That has to happen on the front end.
Yeah, and that ultimately comes back for us to just flexibility, the ability to adapt, and being proactive with those conversations and not reactive, to the point where kind of we mentioned earlier, right? For clients to be able to prioritize, right, what levers they want to pull should that scenario kind of develop, it's much easier to essentially go through kind of your checklist that you've created in advance than it is to now be staring at a blank sheet of paper and going, okay, well, where do we start now that things aren't working out?
Yeah. I mean, I'll put you on the spot. What would be, you love when I do this.
I hate
it. What would be your biggest concerns for clients like long-term? Like what are those variables that you think will come back to bite people?
I think the biggest one, I think I mentioned it earlier, it's cost of healthcare, right? Everyone has an idea of what they spend while they're working. And you hope to really not use a whole lot of that health insurance coverage. I think we all kind of acknowledge that once we age, the odds of us needing to spend more on our healthcare the odds of us spending more on our healthcare go up. But even with that said, we usually don't hear from clients that they've kind of mentally accounted for a portion of their savings that are going to go towards some increased healthcare costs in retirement.
So mine was going to be like piggybacking right off of that. So that's one concern. And I think studies show that like is the number one concern for retirees, that like, do they have enough saved to cover those expenses?
Yeah.
But we're also seeing people live longer. So isn't that compounding that problem that here we are, not that we're trying to play, you know, God here, but we're drawing these plans that say, and you will pass away at age 90 or you will pass away at age 95. What the heck do we know about 25, 30 years from now? I think it's all the more reason that you have to kind of build in some of these parachute cords to your point and make sure that a plan that seems like it's going to work today at 65 years old still feels like it has the potential to withstand some of those hiccups. If it's going to be living till age 95, if the norm's going to be our parents living to age 100.
Yeah. Yeah. So that the phrase that popped into my head, and I don't know where this came to me, but I say it a lot. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. So when it comes to longevity, right, and being conservative with assumptions, whether that's expenses, investment returns, all of the things that kind of go into that long-term projection. And to your point, we're projecting out 25, 30 years into the future. They're guesses. It's our best guess, but they're still educated guesses that we don't know what that reality is going to be. So better to be conservative with our guesses and have, at least for our clients, more flexibility than less later in life.
Yeah. So I think yes, very much so. Agree with all of that. So I think maybe the point that we're trying to hit home is when it comes to retirement planning, sometimes what drives that first question is, okay, I've got the savings. Now what am I going to do with it? Mm-hmm. When I hope we've articulated that is one variable here, like how you're going to invest, three bucket theory, completely separate podcast, yep. How you're going to invest is one input when all these other heavy conversations around assumptions, income need, taxes, healthcare, what buffers do we have built in? This is the reason why I hope anybody that's going to retire seeks out some sort of retirement consultant to have those conversations that pays for that kind of consultation, mm-hmm. completely independent, or maybe they do both like we do, but completely independent of just what I'm going to do with my 401k when I retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. To your point, there are things we can control and we better have those conversations before we retire. And there's certainly things we can't, but if we have the conversations on the front end on what we can't control, hopefully we're building in the backup plans before those things would occur later in life.
Yes. Perfectly said.
Then let's leave it there. Put a pin in it.
Done.
Thank you. Doesn't it feel good? Like we're back in a comfort zone. Not that I'm uncomfortable talking about some of our other recent podcasts, but like, This is the training we had. This is the way that we've been built, you know, to kind of most help, you know, the biggest crowd out there, the baby boomers retiring. So,
yep.
If you got questions, we're here. We're the team that wants to call.
Yep. Don't be shy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
See you soon.
See you next time.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.